welcome everybody to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. I'm your host, Tommy Casabona. Thank you so much for tuning in. We discuss everything that is New York Yankee baseball on this podcast. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Please let people know about this. You can find us on iTunes, Yankees and Gravy, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, Podomatic. Just please find us. Check us out. If you like what we're talking about, give us a share or a like, and let your friends know about it. We want to keep this interactive, so if you wouldn't mind, if you have any thoughts, comments, questions regarding this podcast, hit me up at Gmail. So it's yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. We are one of the very, very few multi-episode a week, I guess you would say, Yankee podcast that actually does come from a fan's perspective. I am not a professional broadcaster. I'm just a big fan who loves me some Yanks, and hopefully you do too. I do watch very closely, and, kind of becoming somebody that, you know, from the comments and from the reviews and stuff like that, it does feel good to see that there is some fire catching with the podcast, and I do see, you know, within my stats, some overseas listeners and overseas, people who are interested in what we have to say on this show regarding our beloved New York baseball Yankees. Let's get right into it. State of the Yanks. Like I said, been busy. Much has happened. I haven't been able to record a podcast in a minute. I think the last one was the 12th or something like that in that area. But it's been crazy. It's almost like it's a little bit of a throwback, a little sentimental retro feel to our Yankees when we were talking back in April, May, when we really couldn't figure out what the hell this team was all about. Win 9 games in a row, lose 6 games, win 8 games, lose 11. I mean, those are not exact numbers, but you know what I'm saying. It was like it was one hell of a ride, a seesaw situation with the Yanks, and we didn't know what we basically had. We knew they weren't as good as they looked when they went 9 in a row, and we knew they weren't as bad as they looked when they lost 7 in a row. So we did feel as of late, you know, I would say basically the – either month or several weeks straddling the All-Star break, I think we started to feel like we had a feel for this team. I think we thought we knew, you know what, this team can play. If they can stay healthy and pitch relatively well, we're going to have ourselves a good baseball team, and we're going to be playing meaningful baseball in September and hopefully into October. Then the slide happened, and it's weird too because the slide happened when, you know, right after we come off this out-of-control scoring onslaught, you know, like Cashman calls him, you know, we were the big hairy monster. I don't know. He's got some weird references, analogies, or metaphors, or whatever you want to call them. But we scored 90 runs in 10 games, guys. That was ridiculous. That's averaging freaking 9 runs a game for 10 games in a row. That's crazy. Then what happened after that? We went on a skid where we literally almost hit, I think we came close to hitting 30 innings without a single run. That's basically a little more than you guys can do the math, but the equivalent of at least 3 games without scoring a run. I didn't like it, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's good, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, who cares. But you saw it. You saw the panic start to set in. Now, I didn't like it for a reason, because if a team is capable of doing that, then you got to worry about them. You know what I mean? Anytime that a slide like that can happen, you got to be somewhat concerned, because if that slide comes at the right time, you obviously know when it gets to that point, you know it's mental. You know what I mean? And, you know, with guys like Teixeira, A-Rod, who else? I mean, those two guys most particular, they have had a past of, you know, are they all there mentally? Do they bring their the right frame of mind to, you know, do they bring the right mindset to these big clutch at-bats? And in years past, they definitely have shown that they haven't. But this year, and, you know, I feel as though they kind of got past that. I felt that. That slide that we're talking about, that was a little bit of a throwback to when those guys were kind of like, you know, in the big spot. You could tell all the pressure was on them. You could tell that, you know, they were the big, high-powered, high-priced guys, and they was going to do it. And you could tell that they felt that. This year, for the most part, They're a little more mature. They have a little bit more history under their belt. You didn't feel that they were pressing like that, except for that slide. So my thought process, though, through the whole thing was I wasn't going to panic. And I said that on some status updates. I said that on the last podcast. I said, don't worry. Everybody say it together. Take it easy. Calm down. Relax. Was I putting on a front? No. I'm not going to go that far as to say I was putting on a front, but maybe I was a little bit more concerned than I was letting on, only because of what I just said. You know, you don't want to see, you know, if you're a World Series caliber team, you know, I don't know how many World Series caliber teams will go 30 innings without scoring a friggin' run. So that's why it was a little concerning to me. And the reason why it wasn't concerning, the reason why I was kind of okay with it and not freaking out about it, is because, you know what, going into this year, we did not think we were going to be playing at the level we did. We've proven that we can score runs with the best of them. We still have, I think right now, it's the second most runs scored in Major League Baseball. Guys, when you have the second most runs scored in Major League Baseball, you really got to do a lot to start worrying about the offense. You don't like that they strung all those innings together, like I said, 16 friggin' times in a row just now. But the fact that, you know, you have to kind of just – you have to be at peace with the fact – you know, you see a lot of stuff on Twitter. We told you the Yankees weren't ready for it this year. They're tired. They're old. They suck. You know, get rid of them. Get rid of Cashman. Told you we need to make a deal. There's so many people that just love to push the panic button, and it's not necessary, guys. If we would have been getting shelled, if we would have been losing the 9-8 games, the 7-6 games, if we were, you know, banging out runs and our pitching was collapsing, that would have put me in a hell of a lot more of a panic situation. Because then I would have been like, you know what? Our pitching doesn't have it. You know our hitting has it. You know we got the goods to score runs. You know, we're too balanced of a team. We're too good of an offensive team. And we'll get into how we've gotten even better a little bit later. But we were pitching well every freaking game, I think, for the most part, besides maybe one. It's been a while now, so I don't remember exactly which one. But the whole point of the whole thing is that we were pitching well to win throughout that skid. I wasn't worried about the offense, and the pitching did look adequate. So that's why, to me, you got to say to yourself, you can't panic. However, I did not say that you shouldn't be worried about the Blue Jays, because they basically made themselves into a team that you didn't know if they were ever going to freaking lose. And then, you know, I guess we eased off the panic button a little bit when we went into Toronto and took 2 out of 3 from them. And now, where it sits now, it seems like, I guess, what's a coy analogy I could use? The fire has been put out. There's a ceasefire. There's a break in the panic mode, whatever you want to call it. Right now, it seems as though we're looking pretty good. We're 5-5 in our last 10. We took 2 of 3 from, you know, what looks like the best team, the hottest team in baseball right now. We're still pitching well enough to win. We're up 2-0 Minnesota in the series with some hard-fought games. I mean, and we're not walking away with this. We're making it exciting. So we bounce back, and here we are. And again, I still don't 100% know what to make of this team. I do like the consistency that we've shown for, you know, 2/3 of the year. But when we're inconsistent for that other third, we are inconsistent, boy. We take you on Yankees take us on a freaking ride that few teams in the history of me watching baseball have ever taken anyone on, because we're up, we're down, we're in, we're out, we're feeling good, we're panicky. Every year around this time, it's usually later. I think every year it gets a little earlier, but you guys can see the look on Joe Girardi's face. I think Joe is a top-notch manager. I disagree with him a lot of times. I second-guess him a lot of times. And in those situations where I have, I sit back. I say, all right, you know, I'm going on record as saying I don't like this move. And a lot of times it proves to be the right move. So, shocker, Joe Girardi knows a little bit more about baseball than me. as crazy as that sounds, it's probably true. So I think we got a good manager. I think we got a good team. And I think that I would like to see us just establish that level of consistency. I don't want to see us go on 4, 5, 6 game slides. I don't want us to see us go on, you know, stretches where we only score, you know, no runs in 28 innings or 5 runs in 60 innings. I don't want to see that stuff. I would like to see, you know, even if we drop a series, we're going to drop series, guys. It's going to happen. But I just don't want to see those big things put together, because when that happens, just like winning is, it builds confidence. And just like when you're on a hitting streak and you feel like nobody can get you out, or you're a pitcher and nobody can get a hit off of you, that is fueled by a lot of confidence. It goes the same exact way the other way around. When you know you have a 30-inning scoreless slide in you as a team, you know, just like, you know, when you look back on things and when you hit that huge home run that gives you the confidence, you know, when you look back on that for, I guess, for, you know, for mental confidence, and you know you've been there before, and that gives you the confidence to say to yourself you could do it again, thus giving you the ability to do it again. The same thing happens with those slides. You just want to see them avoided because, you know, oh my God, you know, is this another slide? Oh, we have, nobody's gotten a hit. We've gone around the order, batting order twice. Nobody's gotten a hit. This guy may have thrown a knuckleball. This guy throws some junk. Remember this happened with R.A. Dickey and when we, you know, we faced Toronto? Is this happening again? Uh-oh. And then panic mode sets in. So that's why you want to avoid those huge slides. But either way, I do have confidence in our team, and I am feeling pretty good about them. It's a long freaking season, guys. Slumps happen. All right, so that's it. What else did we want to get into? Seeing some things this year that you didn't see much of this year. You know, I'm a critical Yankee fan. I am a cynical Yankee fan. But I am also, I feel, I try to be as realistic as possible. Some of the things that I really, really didn't like about this year, I was concerned about. I was concerned about with our defense. That's for damn sure. I was also concerned with our, you know, our ability to come from behind. Going back to the same thing I just said. When you have not come from, you could be like, 40 and 10. But in those 10 games, once you were losing the game, you never even got back into it. You know that. So even if you're 40 and 10, something tells you, you know what, we got to jump out ahead. We can't come from behind. And that can get in your head too. So I was upset with the fact that we didn't win a lot of battle back, come from behind games. And we didn't have so much clutch hitting. I guess we had some big hitting, big spots where we'd pile on 21 runs, 15 runs, 17 runs. But the clutch hitting, while I'm sure it was there in spurts, I know it was there in spurts, it wasn't like a glaring, calling card of this team. Having said that, what you're starting to see right now and what you're really, really pumped up about is a lot of these things change and turn around. I will be the first person to say Didi Gregorius, first of all, started like shit at shortstop and with the bat, and then he ended up being an adequate defensive player, and, you know, people were talking about how much improved he was. I was still of the mindset that, you know what, you're a shortstop. I used to be a shortstop, and you have to relish the opportunity to make the spectacular play. And every time Didi Gregorius dove for a ball, he would come up without the ball. That is changing now, guys. He's showing the range. He's starting to get flashy. He's starting to get confident. I don't know if I've seen an arm that – I don't know if I've seen a guy throw a ball that hard from shortstop. The guy has a gun. He's doing the whole, you know, go in the hole and turn and throw it back. He's doing the charge the ball, scoop it up, and throw it sidearm in one motion. You know, he's doing the in the hole, deep in the hole, set, and then give a hard 85, 90-mile-an-hour strike over to Teixeira. And I think that's coming with a lot of confidence. And the guy is not any longer an automatic out. So Didi Gregorius, bravo to you. I'm definitely happy with the direction that's going. Now, team defense. I've maintained it, and I kind of still am not out of the woodworks where I'm not going to say that I don't believe it anymore and I think we're good. My prediction, you know, my cold and creepy and eerie prediction is that our defense is going to be what eliminates us from this season, when, if and when, God forbid, that does happen. What I did see tonight and what I've seen recently, but let's just talk most notably about tonight, is a freaking team that is throwing leather all over the field, making clutch defensive plays. So I'm liking that I'm seeing that. And we're seeing come from behind wins, as in tonight. What I also like is the feel that on any given night, anybody can be the savior. Tex was carrying us, and A-Rod. Tex and A-Rod were our guys most of the year that were pretty much carrying us. And there's no way that could even be argued with. But recently, it just seems like they're sharing the wealth. And the party is kind of like taking on a whole new light with other people. You know, CC's stepping up. And I'm talking about hitting right now, so forget CC. But I'm talking about, you know, McCann had his game the other night. Tex is still doing his thing. Beltran went off. He single-handedly won a game. Single-handedly lost a game, too, for us. That's... what was it, that Severino game where he should have been out of that inning a couple of days ago. But you can't get mad at Beltran after the offensive surge he's been providing us. And obviously A-Rod. A-Rod has been killing it for us. And A-Rod is just, I mean, one of the, for me, again, I know a lot of people will just not want to deal with him because of PEDs. But for me, it's one of the feel-good stories. I hate when people pile on people, and this guy just seemed like a freaking wounded duck, and he was just gonna have, you know, a billion people just trashing him, and he was gonna ride off into anonymity. Here I go again, don't know how to say the freaking word, so don't use it if you don't know how to say it. Let's try anonymity forever in shame. But this guy has come back with a smile on his face. He paid his debt to baseball. He's been saying all the right things this year. And he's tearing the freaking cover off the ball. Now, you know, last couple of weeks, not so much. But for the most part, the body of work this year, yes. And yes, we will get into what he gave to us tonight. And that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So yeah, everybody's giving us something. Everybody's, you know, and you also, you know you got the guys at the top of the order. Now, this is what happens to Gardner every year, this freaking time of year. And it's annoying, but, you know, how can you freaking knock the guy? The guy plays with his heart and his soul every single day in, day out. He throws his, you know, he sacrifices his body. He still does that dopey-ass dive to first base. I don't know why. Guy loves to just dive. Looks good doing it, too, huh? Just fully, full speed, spreads out, and freaking just goes for it all. You know, what an athlete, man. Gardner is just a good spark plug, talented guy. The takeaway off of that, though, the problem with that is that this time of year, he's beat up, man. He puts his body through a lot. And, you know, Joe Girardi is one of the better guys at giving people breaks and giving people rest and, you know, taking preventative measures. Everybody loves Uncle Joe, Joe Torre, my favorite manager of all the Yankee managers, obviously because of what he brought to us, but... You know, he didn't have that ability. Joe Torre would ride you out, and Joe Torre would, you know, pitchers, hitters, everybody. You were, if you can go, you're going. And you know what? Hopefully we'll make it till the end of the year. And fortunately for those Yankees of that era, they did a lot of times. But Girardi's a little bit more, you know, when he has an older team, he gives preventative days off. You know, you may not need a day off, but you may enjoy this day off. You may not need this day off because you're tired, but maybe you would have been tired 3 days from now had I not given you this day off. Maybe you would have pulled this muscle. So, you know, I can't argue with that. How can you argue with that? It takes a lot of discipline to manage like that, and he seems to do a good job doing it. So, good for him. I gotta eventually get a freaking guest on this show. Sitting there talking. I listen to these other podcasts, these Yankee podcasts. They got a room full of freaking people to talking their stupid shit back and forth between each other. This is just me. Hopefully you guys can freaking... Hopefully my voice isn't too awful where you guys don't get completely sick of it. And hopefully you guys feel like, you know... Again, the idea is just that you guys are listening to another fan just like you. And I'm hoping that you guys disagree with some of the stuff that I say. And I'm hoping you guys hit me back with some bullshit, you know, over emails and tell me that you think I'm wrong about this, wrong about that. But again, this is coming from the heart. And this is definitely just a fan's total perspective. I'm not trying to act like I'm some media member, or I'm not trying to get picked up by the Yes Network or anything like that. I'm here for you guys, and hopefully you enjoy it, wherever you are on the face of this planet. What else do we want to get into? Sorry about that. No idea where that came from. pitching. Pitching is solid. We kind of touch on pitching every episode. But Tanaka came off his it was basically a statement game. I mean, that was just, you know, every time you want to, you know, it's weird. It's annoying. Every time you freaking think you're good, these guys give you a reason to freaking get scared. And every time you wonder or worry about somebody, whether it's health or whether it's performance, whether it's tired arm or whatever it is, a guy like Tanaka just steps up and gives you this beastly performance that he did on what day was it? Saturday or Sunday? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. It's I think it was Saturday. So yeah, Saturday. So he just comes in and just does it and acts every bit of the role of the ace, which is what we really, really need. If he can do that, hey Tanaka, if you're listening, or I should say, if Tanaka's interpreter is listening, please send the message that do me a favor and keep it going with that. You know what I mean? Maybe you may want to stick with that rather than the freaking 3-4 home run efforts that you do even when you are pitching good. The guy does love to give up. The guy's not afraid to give up a home run, huh? Either way, I don't want to knock the guy. Just freaking gut it out, 9 innings, complete game. How often do you get a complete game nowadays? I remember the league leaders in complete games back in the day when I was, you know, studying the back of baseball cards like a shut-in when I was 6-7 years old. Yeah, 9-10 complete games. Now it's like, forget it, you know. You hardly ever see it. So Tanaka had his best outing as a Yankee to a few days ago. That's obviously awesome. Severino, he looks like a freaking beast, this guy. I mean, you know, with him, I'll be honest with you, it's so much about the umpires. I think they definitely are squeezing him a little bit, and that's going to happen. You're a rookie. You're new to the league, and you're going to get squeezed a little bit. They're going to make you prove that you belong here, and those pitches that are on the corners that he is putting on the corners, locating them because he's that good, he's getting a lot of ball calls on those, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see if this kid can continue to pitch like he's pitching. He's going to start getting more of those calls, and you're going to see more dominant performances, because you can see he goes in, he goes out, his fastball is everywhere. He moves that ball and freaking puts it on it, which is beautiful, because CC never could do that. CC could always throw, you know, 97, 98. Oh, and that's the other thing too. This guy profiled as a guy who averages around 95 and eventually touches, you know, and sometimes touches 96. This guy hit 98. He was 96, 97. I don't know if that's adrenaline. I don't know what that is, but he is pitching a lot harder than he profiles. And he also profiled in the beginning of the year, and this is, I guess, I gave him wrong information. His changeup was supposed to be a big league changeup to where it was almost as polished as and major league ready as his fastball. When at this level, it's looking like he's not as comfortable with his curve, his changeup, that he is with his slider. So he's going back and forth from fastball to slider and mixing in a changeup here and there just to keep people honest. So I don't know if that's just misinformation that I got, or I don't think it was, because it was across the board, everything I researched. Or maybe just at this level, he's finding that the changeup isn't as a dominating of a pitch and isn't, you know, these batters aren't as fooled by it as these minor leaguers were, and he's relying more on the fastball and the slider. Either way, the guy's pitching really, really well. What a damn shame Beltran lost that ball in the sun. Now, I don't get it. You know, they're going back and forth about, oh, should it be an error? Well, if he lost it in the sun, it's not an error. And they look for all details about, well, did he look to defend himself? If he looked to defend himself in the field, that means he has no idea where the ball is, and that means he lost it in the sun. I think if you lose it in the sun, it's still a freaking error. How do you give somebody a break for losing in the sun? You are taught how to shield the sun as a Major League Baseball player. You know what I mean? How often do you even freaking see balls lost in the sun? You don't hardly ever see it. I mean, comparative to how many fly balls are hit to the outfield on sunny days, these guys are pros. They either have shades, they shield it with the glove hand or the bare hand. They get a feel for how, you know, where the sun is. To me, that's an error. You got to freaking, it's up to you to block block the sun out when you're catching a fly ball. So, I mean, sometimes it sucks and you're going to get beat on it. But you know what? That's just the imperfection of the rules system to me. Every once in a while, you know what? sucks, but you lost that one in the sun. You know, it wasn't an impossible ball to see. Maybe every once in a while one of them comes along. But 9 times out of 10, it's got to be on you to be able to shield the sun. Just my opinion. Who the hell am I? So Ivaldi's still kind of trucking along. It's going to be interesting. Like, all right, so Severino. So, you know, a healthy Pineda and a healthy Tanaka are on any postseason or late season staff. You know that. So those guys crossed them off the list. The question is, I guess Severino. If Severino's pitching like a beast, I guess he's got to be on there too. If he's pitching the way he's pitching, you can't. How do you justify sitting him down? He's just, you know, a 21-year-old stud. I have another correction I got to give you guys. I was worried about his innings limit, and I was like, you know, we can't really rely on this guy, because I was watching him in the minor leagues, and I was seeing, you know, he's only pitching 4 innings here, 40 pitches here, 60 pitches here. I was like, well, they're babying the shit out of this guy, and, you know, if they're just, you know, holding back on him in the beginning of this year, then obviously they're not going to just let him fly. I was incorrect in that that's the exact reason why they were limiting his innings. So that just tells you nobody really talked about that. You know, it was interesting. Nobody mentioned that, you know, this guy Severino is obviously going to be relied on in the major leagues and at this level, at the big league level, because look what they're doing with his pitch counts. I thought they were just minimalizing, you know, pitchers, because that's what's done nowadays. You just baby pitchers. But they were specifically holding him back and pitching him very few innings, because, you know, the minor league season is shorter than the major league season. That's why you do all the call-ups. So it would be tough for him to just come in and, you know, think that he could pitch a full minor league season and then tack on another, you know, couple of months of major league baseball, God willing, with the playoffs. And that just wasn't realistic. So they've been monitoring his innings and keeping them low for the sole purpose of knowing that they were going to bring him up and use him and to be a big part of this, you know, dog days of summer, late season playoff push that we'll hopefully be a part of. So then that's that. So that's those three you're going to have. And then you have a decision to make, guys. It's Ivaldi versus Sabathia. And, you know, it's not like they're the same guy and you're comparing apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. You're talking about CeCe, the battle-tested former superstar, borderline Hall of Fame pitcher who has seen all this before and is a leader, well-respected guy on the team, but he can give you a clunker at any time if he doesn't have it, because he's older and he doesn't have the velocity he used to, and you just don't know. The reliability factor, you know, the way he's been pitching the last couple of outings, you know, he's making a strong case for himself, but the whole year's body of work, that's not necessarily a guy you're going to 100% rely on. Or you got Ivaldi, who is by no means flashy and brilliant and dominant, but he has been doing his job, eating the shit out of some innings, and basically winning most of the time he goes out. I said winning, Charlie Sheen. He does have a little bit of a Charlie Sheen look to him too. He's got a little bit of that major league look, right? No? So that's the thing. Ivaldi, your consummate winner, your, you know, 25-year-old fireball, 100-mile-an-hour hurler. The guy hits 100 like nothing. And, you know, the guy's pitching well, and he deserves, and he's pitched above what he's been pitched. This has got to be his best year of his career, and he probably deserves to pitch. And you could say the same thing for CeCe, based on him being battle-tested, a pseudo, you know, captain-type figure of this team, well-respected, well-liked guy, except for when he wears those freaking pink shoes when he gets into fights at nightclubs. You know, and he's been pitching good lately. So that's going to be a tough decision to make. And I got a feeling they're going to go with CeCe, and Ivaldi will probably find himself in the bullpen just because of, you know, the contract too. You can't ignore the freaking contract. You're paying this guy all this money. You're not going to pay him to freaking, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call. It's a decision you're going to have to make, and I think, honestly, I would say it's probably neck and neck right now. I don't know if it is in the Yankees' eyes, but to me, it's neck and neck right now, and the next 4 to 6 weeks will determine who would who I would put on that postseason roster. So tell me what you guys think, CeCe or Ivaldi. It's going to be a very, very interesting interesting debate and contest over the next 6 weeks. The nightclub incident, I don't want to touch on that too much. The guy was just dumb. CC, you can't freaking start, you know. You can't, and I know, what, again, like I said, I've told you before, I see these guys and I've spent time with them, and I'm very, very shocked at how human they actually are. They have a desire to be human. They have a desire to get into fights. I'm 40. When I was 25, that's what me and my friends did. We went out. We looked for girls. If there were no girls, we got into a fight. And, you know, that's, I mean, CC's 38 years old now too, so he's kind of my age, but he's still in the, you know, he's still in the ball player's mindset. And when I would wrestle, you know, I would try to wrestle down these ball players because they'd be trying to fight people. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? You're a Diamondback. What are you doing? You're a Pirate. You're on the freaking, you know, you're on. They were like, Tommy, yeah, I'm also a man. And then, you know, one of them said, I got a dick. Don't forget, yeah, I'm on the Pirates and I got money. But I got a dick and balls. And you know, this guy's going to come at me. So I guess that's kind of like a thing that they have. They don't want to be like, you know, I guess it's tough. You're a man. You don't want to walk away from stuff. You know, when somebody's challenging your manhood, it's a very tough thing. Even if you are trained and ideally supposed to do the right thing because of your status, walk away from it. I guess that's tough sometimes, but it's not a good look. Guy's freaking 38 years old. What the hell is he doing, you know, hitting up the freaking hot spots anyway? So he's getting into a car and somebody just says something stupid. And he's got two or three guys trying to restrain him. CeCe, you know, I don't know. You came very close to making that decision that I was just referring to very easy. With one swing of your hand and your fist, you could have made that decision on who to start for the playoff run very, very easy. And I don't think that's in your best interest. So I hopefully he cleans it up. Clean it up, CC, as my buddy Mike would say. Tonight, I have written down here, damn, what seven ends. I mean, what a game tonight. That's one of those games that I was alluding to earlier. I'm walking home. I'm in transit. I'm at work. And during the early parts of the week, I kind of get out of there around 7, 8 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock, whatever. And I feel like sometimes I'm like trapped by the Yankee game because I want to watch the game, but I also want to get the hell out of work. So, you know, I do have that inevitable, you know, 35, 40-minute commute sometimes. So I'm walking. Yankees were down 4-1. And my buddy Brendan, who, you know, I've mentioned him before on this podcast, I got a text from him. And he's just like, biggest at-bat of A-Rod's season right here. And I'm like, and I'm pissed because, I, you know, that they left freaking CC in too long. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, what do you think about that? Did they leave him in too long? I mean, you know, somebody said, I think I said somewhere that Yankees were tight with the bullpen tonight. Everybody had been pitching a lot. So if they had a full bullpen, they may have not let CC. I mean, when is CC not? The wheels fall off, you know? The wheels fall off right after that. Sometimes the 5 innings, but usually definitely after 6 innings. So, I mean, I don't know. Not to second-guess my buddy Girardi again, but I don't know. One may have seen that coming. But again, if we were tight with the bullpen tonight, maybe it might have been a worthwhile experiment to see if we can get one more out of them. So, again, not trying to freaking Monday morning quarterback, overmanage, backseat drive, all the other references, whatever. So, so he texts me. He's like, this is the biggest at-bat of A-Rod's season. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, he didn't even tell me. I just didn't even want to get into it with him because I knew the at-bat would be over, whatever. So I was like, I'm in transit. Keep me posted. Must have taken about 15 more steps towards the subway. Grand slam. I freaking was like, hell yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's been struggling for 2 weeks. People are starting to say, oh, you know, what's going on with A-Rod? He's looking like an old man. And he still may be looking like an old man. And it's one home run. I'm not even saying he's not going to get back on a freaking 2-week slide. But, man, is that huge. And that's what I'm talking about as far as being able to draw back. When you're in the big spot in October and the ball's coming in, you got man on first and second, you draw back and you remember the time you hit that grand slam to win the game. And you know what? That gives you the confidence. And that's the stuff that we need. That freaking hit from A-Rod tonight was huge. That grand slam, ugh, I haven't heard any of the calls from Kay or Sterling. But I want to. I can't wait to. And I'm pumped. That was just awesome. So In general, getting back to CC, solid performance, though, for the most of the game. Up until the seventh, he retired his first 13 batters in a row. He struck out five guys, and it was one-run ball through six and two-thirds. I mean, you know, I don't know what more you're asking for from CC this year. So, you know, and he just kind of left. He said he left the changeup up a little too high, and that was the home run that that got us to break the tie. What else bright spots about tonight? Greg Bird, this guy can hit. I'm telling you right now, everything that everybody was saying about this guy, I hadn't seen him on a regular basis up until he's been here. And you watch him, you know, and I don't mean to steal Girardi's line, but even in the beginning when he hadn't gotten his first hit yet, he was on every pitch, man. You just use the eye test. The guy is on every pitch. He's a major league professional hitter. He's a big dude, and he's going to have Mark Teixeira for the next 2 years. You know, I guess showing him the ropes, and I think we're in good shape with this guy, Bert. He had his first start at Yankee Stadium tonight. He had an RBI and a run scored, and he looks good, man. It's going to be, I don't know, you know, we got spoiled with all those guys, you know. I don't know if he's going to be a Mark Teixeira. I'm pretty sure he won't be a Mark Teixeira. You know, there's not, you know, it's a rare breed, but hopefully he will. Headley went 2-for-2. He was in a pinch hitting role tonight. Went 2-for-2 on the pinch hit. He had two huge RBIs, clutch hits, and you got to love seeing that. Again, like I alluded to before, just the team diving around, making errors, running into walls, looking like a professional defensive baseball team. This is going to be great, guys. This is just going to be a good run. Everybody's knee-jerking, you know what I mean? When the Yankees were 6.5 games up, of course, you know, the Yankees are going to run away with it. It's over. The division's over. Of course, when the Yankees went on that slide and the Blue Jays won freaking 100 out of freaking 101 games or whatever it was like, oh, the Yanks are in trouble. They better hope they can get a wild card. And now the Yanks came back a little bit, so what do you hear from everybody? Oh, this is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be down to the end. Who knows? It's going to be a great race. Nobody knows shit. You got to see what happens. Blue Jays are a brand new team. They're obviously hot as fire right now, but you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if somebody's going to get hurt. You don't know if one of the Yankees is going to get hurt. You don't know if the Blue Jays are going to self-destruct like they have done every year. Got to see. Shout out to the Mets tonight for helping us out with Baltimore there. Appreciate that, Metropolitans. What else? We're wrapping it up here. Brian Mitchell went to the hospital. He got blasted in the face with that fractured sinus bone. That was rough, man. That didn't look good. That looked scary. It looked like he didn't even have a millisecond to react. I mean, you know, you're seeing it with baseball, with football, and every year, it's like, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is to be like, every time they put up another fence or another protective this or protective that, I want to say, you know, or add another rule in football, you know, shit's been going on 100 years, and now all of a sudden you got to change it? Well, the answer to that, I'm finding and kind of coming to the realization, the answer is yes, you have to change it. I mean, look at these football players. Look at these baseball. I mean, in general, people are getting bigger. If you ever watched some of these baseball games or highlights from like the 80s, even when I started watching, these were normal looking men. If they weren't playing baseball, they could be freaking working at a bank somewhere or, you know, anything. Like, they just, now even baseball players, they have a body type. Baseball players are 6'2", 210, they're lean, they're muscular, and, you know, and it used to be when a baseball player used to come up to you, it just looked like the everyman. You know, now I can see when they come into these bars that I run and they come in, these are even the baseball players are professional athletes. They walk around and they look like professional athletes. They're bigger, stronger, and they can do more damage. And the same thing with football. That's why these rules are coming into place. I hate it. I hate, you know, the ambiguity of not knowing what a freaking pass interference is anymore or a head or, or when the tacklers or lead with the helmet. Like, that's how I freaking tackled. I never got a penalty. I ran into the guy and did whatever I can and used the hardest thing on my body to try to knock this guy off his feet. And what was that? It was my freaking head. It was my helmet. And that's what I did. And I never got a spearing call in my life. And now you got to just get these guys to completely change the way they play. And I guess they're doing it right. They're starting at the youth with the heads-up tackling program. And I guess maybe you're going to have to suffer through the 5 years or so of, ambiguity. And, you know, for the health of everybody, it's just that this game is just football. We're talking about football right now. But the game has just become littered with such ridiculous athletes. I remember when I first started watching football, God, I hate myself when I start doing this stuff because in my mind I'm still freaking, you know, in my mind I'm, you know, 15, 17, 20 years old. But, you know, when I say stuff like this, I sound like a freaking, you know, an old timer in a rocket chair. But when I came up, you know, offensive linemen were about 250 pounds, and they looked like sanitation workers. They looked like they had big asses, big bellies, and they were 250 pounds, 6 feet one. Now we got guys, and I know one of my friends, that I know comes in regular. I'm in awe of him every time. They're 6'7", 320, and the guy could probably run 4.9. You know what I mean? These guys can do a lot of damage, and that's why people's freaking marbles are getting scrambled up. And I guess you got to do something about that. What do you do? Just let it happen and let these guys freaking be modern-day gladiators that just get sacrificed for our entertainment? Man, you know, normally don't sound like that. I was for so long, I was like, you know, sucks, changing the game. I love this game. You're ruining the game. But, you know, you gotta put some thought into it. And you got to put some thought into, you know, just because I like watching people, you know, ram into each other 50 miles an hour. So going back, how it pertains to baseball, I guess. Where the hell was I even talking about with this? Just the things that they put up. And getting hit in the face with a line drive and you have no reaction time to it because you're able all of a sudden now to have guys that can throw 96, 98 miles an hour without batting an eyelash. And then you have some guy who could bench press 350 pounds and has the torque of I don't know what, taking a swing. And now you can't get out of the way of the ball. It's not freaking 160 pounders on 180 pounders throwing 88 mile an hour freaking heaters. It's some serious, you know, energy is being exchanged between these monsters. So I don't know how to handle that. It's just a scary moment when you see a guy come off the field like that. Update on him. I guess he's got a bruised sinuses. I don't know. What is it? Bone, muscle, whatever the hell it is. Whatever it is, sinuses on this guy, it's bruised on Roberts. I hope he's all right. I still think I don't even think they're talking about timetable yet. They're talking about monitoring him for concussion symptoms, and he went to the hospital. He's going to be fine, but you know they're still just trying to figure out where he is. Tex has a bone bruise in the leg, blasted a foul ball off his leg. He is okay though. Negative X-rays. Doesn't look like he's going to play tomorrow yet. You know, Tex being Tex, and you know, not the best and fastest bounce back guy out there. Like, who the hell am I? Like, if I blasted a foul ball off my leg, I'd be, you know, ready to do jumping jacks 10 minutes later. Probably not. Pineda pitching a pain-free rehab and should be back in the mix in the next, you know, week, couple of weeks, something like that. And I was going to touch on the Utley situation. They're talking about maybe getting this guy Utley. I have no idea why. The guy's hitting 213. He's got 5 home runs and 13 RBIs. Is he an upgrade from Steven Drew? I'm starting to freaking like this guy. I'm starting to feel like Steven Drew is that little brother that, you know, sucks. And every once in a while, he surprises you. But we are not going to spend another 10 minutes on Steven Drew. Exciting time of year, guys. Having a good time watching the Yankees. I once again appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please give me the energy and the encouragement that I need to continue to go and make new episodes by just sharing the stuff I post, emailing me at yankeesandgravy@gmail.com, finding me on Twitter, you know, this and that. Got a couple of buddies on Twitter that I kind of go back and forth with a little bit. My buddy Paul Moss, he's very, very supportive of the podcast, and I appreciate that. Paul, please tell your friends. Rosemary, Miss Yankee, she's one of the more cynical Yankee fans out there, and you gotta love that give and take and stuff like that. A bunch of people, I got some guys over, you know, who listen overseas and stuff like that. Keep it coming. Keep the emails coming. Keep the tweets coming. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you again so much for listening. Go Yankees.